Good morning. It's Friday, October 24th. I'm Gideon Resnick in for Shamita Basu. This is Apple News Today. On today's show, the facts behind a central claim that's fueling the government shutdown, a pardon of a major crypto mogul close to Trump's family, and what to know as the World Series begins. But first, to the bombshell arrests of an NBA head coach and a current player, coming just days into the start of the latest season. A pair of indictments were unsealed yesterday detailing alleged gambling schemes, ensnaring both Portland Trailblazers head coach Chauncey Billups and Miami Heat guard Terry Rozier. The NBA placed both of them on leave. Here's FBI Director Kash Patel announcing the charges at a press conference in New York.
This is an illegal gambling operation and sports rigging operation that spanned the course of years. The FBI led a coordinated takedown across 11 states to arrest over 30 individuals today responsible for this case, which is very much ongoing. Not only did we crack into the fraud that these perpetrators committed on the grand stage of the NBA, but we also entered and executed a system of justice against La Casa Nostra.
The FBI alleges that Billups participated in illegal poker games set up by infamous New York mob families that defrauded people of at least $7 million. The alleged rigged games featured technology that sounds straight out of a heist movie. Zach Harper is an NBA writer for The Athletic. He told us about some of the alleged gadgets that were used.
There's an X-ray type machine that could read cards when they're face down. There's also places on the poker table that had cameras in them that would relay the images of what the cards are when they're face down. And then there would be markings on face cards or any of the cards, and contact lenses or glasses would help reveal those, which sounds very Mission Impossible.
Officials say that players thought they were at fair tables, but instead lost millions at these rigged games. Billups allegedly had a very specific role in the process.
The idea would be that Chauncey would come in there, and I had a former player describe it to me in this way of, he's there to put people at ease. Hey, that's a familiar face. I recognize Chauncey Billups. It must be on the up and up if he is indeed involved in this.
The second indictment, naming Rozier, involves a scheme in which he would allegedly manipulate his performance in a game, allowing for a co-conspirator to place a bet that would award them money.
He would give information, allegedly, of, I'm going to leave this game early tomorrow. You want this certain outcome in a game, I'm going to leave this game early tomorrow, whether that's in regards to prop bets around his statistics or just the outcome of the game itself. The seriousness of that is it affects the integrity and the outcome of a basketball game.
The Athletic reports that these charges stem from an ongoing investigation that produced a previous guilty plea and a lifetime ban for former Raptors player Jonte Porter. Rozier had also already been investigated by the NBA for these allegations, but the league found that he hadn't violated any NBA rules. Harper said the cases highlight the challenging world in which gambling and professional sports are inextricably linked.
I don't see it going away. It makes so much money. It's such a big part of propping up media, professional sports in general, that I think it's just something you have to kind of try to minimize as the leagues. You have to try to minimize the potential downfalls and just hope that your integrity and your reputation doesn't get hit in the process to a point where it affects the bottom line. I do believe it's a balancing act for the NBA and just sports leagues in general.
Lawyers for Rozier and Billups denied wrongdoing and pledged to fight the charges. Now to the government shutdown, which is officially the second longest in modern history. Lawmakers are scrambling to find roundabout ways to fund key federal workers and military service officers, but a broader solution hasn't materialized. Yesterday, Senate Majority Leader John Thune and his Democratic counterpart Chuck Schumer traded familiar lines on the Senate floor.
What's really driving Democrats isn't health care. It's not a desire for negotiations. It's politics. And far-left activists who demanded a showdown with President Trump.
And what is Donald Trump doing as we stare into the abyss of the healthcare crisis? He's flying off yet again to another corner of the world while people's premiums are set to skyrocket here at home.
Democrats' demands remain the same. They want an extension of Affordable Care Act subsidies and the reversal of recent Republican Medicaid cuts. And most Republicans want a funding bill that keeps spending in place as is, and they want to push negotiations on healthcare down the road. Next week could add even more urgency to these negotiations as health insurance open enrollment begins on November 1st. According to an analysis by KFF, a healthcare policy think tank, without the extensions, Americans on subsidized plans would see their premiums double on average. Today, we're going to look at one of the central claims made by Republicans in this debate, that Democrats want to support more medical care for undocumented immigrants, something they point out is prohibited by federal law.
So it's sort of like two starkly different versions of what's going on. And the reality is it's somewhere more in the middle.
David Ovalle is a health writer for The Washington Post. Immigrants living in the country illegally are not eligible for federal health plans, including Medicaid and Medicare, and insurance that is sold on the ACA marketplace. But there are things like the Emergency Medicaid Program, which reimburses hospitals for the cost of complying with a law signed by President Reagan that requires emergency rooms to treat all patients, regardless of immigration status. The large domestic policy bill that Trump signed into law earlier this year reduces the share that the federal government pays for that program. But states still do cover the cost. According to KFF, emergency Medicaid spending represents a tiny, tiny fraction of overall Medicaid spending. That law that Trump signed also banned a number of lawfully present immigrants, like people with temporary protected status, from Medicaid and Medicare coverage, as well as subsidized ACA plans. These are cuts that Democrats are hopeful to reverse. Some states offer programs that fund medical care for undocumented immigrants, but recently some of those programs, like one in California, have begun to be rolled back due to budget shortfalls. Overall, Ovalle says the more common experience for millions of undocumented immigrants in the country is avoiding interactions with many parts of the healthcare system because of language barriers, fears of deportation, and just the complexities of the system itself.
It's a hodgepodge of services, right? They may go to a community clinic. That community clinic may or may not get some sort of federal or state funding. They go to different charity care. They will often forego care, and often they will pay out of pocket. So it's a vastly different experience, and certainly it more resembles people who maybe just don't have any health care at all paid for by any kind of insurance, but it's not, you know, so uniform.
He created the world's largest crypto exchange, but ended up in prison after admitting to money laundering violations that allowed terrorists and criminals to prosper. Now, Changpeng Zhao has become the latest high-profile individual to be pardoned by President Trump. Zhao, the founder of Binance, was one of the Biden administration's biggest crypto-related prosecutions when he pleaded guilty to enabling money laundering in 2023. Here's then-Attorney General Merrick Garland describing the allegations.
Binance facilitated billions of dollars of unregulated cryptocurrency transactions. It willfully enabled hundreds of millions of dollars in transactions between American users and users subject to U.S. sanctions. And its platform accommodated criminals across the world who use Binance to move their stolen funds and other criminal proceeds.
Zhao ultimately served 4 months in prison, and the DOJ handed out a $4.3 billion fine to Binance. But despite Zhao's guilty plea, Trump said that he took a different view during remarks at the White House yesterday.
As I was told, I don't know him. I don't believe I've ever met him. But I've been told by a lot of support. He had a lot of support. And they said that what he did is not even a crime. It wasn't a crime. That he was persecuted by the Biden administration. And so I gave him a pardon at the request of a lot of very good people.
Binance had been pushing hard to secure this pardon, and Zhao himself hired lawyers and lobbyists with connections to the administration. But there's also a link between Binance and World Liberty Financial, a crypto company launched by Eric and Donald Trump Jr. Allison Morrow, a senior writer for CNN Business, told the network about the relationship between their startup and Binance.
Binance has been helping facilitate trades of World Liberty Financial's token, which all helps kind of elevate the profile of the Trump family business. And that business alone has added an estimated $5 billion worth of fortune to the Trump family net worth.
Trump's press secretary, Caroline Levitt, was asked about a potential conflict of interest, but would only say that Trump exercised his constitutional authority and there was a, quote, very thorough examination of every pardon request. Trump has granted clemency to a number of other crypto executives, including Ross Ulbricht, who created the dark web marketplace Silk Road. And since Trump has taken office this term, a number of lawsuits against crypto firms have been dropped. This latest pardon could pave the way for Binance to return to operation in the U.S., a question Levitt said was ultimately for the Treasury Department. Top Democrats have denounced the pardon as corrupt. And Republican Senator Tom Tillis told reporters Zhao wasn't innocent, and the pardon sent a bad signal. It can now complicate a bill to regulate cryptocurrency, which needs bipartisan support in Congress. Before we let you go, a few other stories we're following. President Trump called off plans for a federal deployment to San Francisco after being lobbied by tech leaders. The San Francisco Chronicle reports that officials in the Bay Area were getting worried that Trump might send the National Guard into the city, or a rush of immigration officers to ramp up arrests. San Francisco's Mayor Daniel Lurie announced Trump's decision hours after protesters had clashed with immigration agents near Oakland. Trump posted on social media saying friends of his asked him not to move forward with the surge, and that Lurie had been making substantial progress. Tonight, the World Series kicks off, with the Los Angeles Dodgers looking to go back-to-back in the Fall Classic as they head north of the border to take on the Toronto Blue Jays. The Jays made it into the World Series after a dramatic seven-game battle with the Seattle Mariners. Meanwhile, the Dodgers cruised with a four-game sweep of the Milwaukee Brewers. Mike Petriello is the director of stats and research at Major League Baseball. He said that while the Dodgers feel like the easy pick, given the star-studded roster, don't count out Toronto just yet.
I think the greater public at large is not going to give the Blue Jays enough credit because most American fans haven't seen a lot of them over the course of a season, but they're playing really well, and they've got a couple of superstars and some good starting pitching. And while I do think the Dodgers will take it six, it's going to be pretty close. It's not going to be a Brewer-style beatdown.
While this is familiar ground for the Dodgers, the Blue Jays haven't been to a World Series since 1993. And finally, the clarinet is considered a pretty hard instrument to master. But how about playing it while under the knife for brain surgery? 65-year-old Denise Bacon from England has Parkinson's disease, and she's been forced to leave her concert band as her condition deteriorated. She was wide awake while doctors implanted electrodes into her skull to improve motor skills. And to show the improvement in real time, she played a tune for the team of surgeons. Denise said that she felt her right hand able to move much more easily once the surgeon's simulation was applied, and she was delighted with the results. You can find all these stories and more in the Apple News app. And if you're already listening to the News app right now, stick around for the latest episode of Apple News in Conversation. This week, Shamita sat down with Eric Latch, a staff writer at The New Yorker who profiled mayoral candidate Zoran Mamdani. Latch talked to Shamita about Mamdani's life and his past criticism of the New York police.
It's a gigantic, complex, huge load-bearing element of the city infrastructure and bureaucracy and government. And every mayor going back decades has had their time in office defined by their relationship to the police department. So the idea that this is just going to be a side issue, I think, is naive.
If you're listening to the podcast app, you can follow Apple News in Conversation to find that episode, or come back to the Apple News Today feed tomorrow. All new episodes of In Conversation will be available there on Saturdays as well. Enjoy the weekend, and we'll be back with the news on Monday.